Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hello, After Buzzers. You are watching the Jane the Virgin After Show, and tonight we are discussing a very serious, very sad, a very goodbye episode, Chapter 54. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
A moment of silence. Hello, After Buzzers! You are watching the Jane the Virgin After Show on After Buzz TV. I am your host, Stephanie Georgie. Before we get started, go ahead and subscribe to our page. Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, everywhere. We're there. You can follow me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie. And tonight I'm hosting with
Twitter, Instagram, XOXOCESCA.
Princely here. And you can follow me as Silly Hangout.
Silly Hangout. Oh my gosh. So we're crying. We're sorry.
This episode.
I hope
Jesus.
Everyone's watched the episode before they're listening to us. If you have not watched the episode,
Stop this.
Yes.
Stop it right now. Go watch. Come back.
You need to watch.
In fact, my roommate just messaged me. WTF.
Like, for real.
Lucy, we'll talk about this.
Twitter's going crazy.
In a little bit.
Oh my gosh. The memes on Twitter right now are my life. I feel exactly what these, like, just, it's actually trending. Jane the Virgin is trending right now on Twitter. If you're on Twitter right now, check it out.
My heart's beating a little bit. This is good. This is the reason why we do this show. This is the reason why y'all watch it, is because we want to talk about it. We love it. We resonate with it. And tonight will be a really good discussion.
Mm-hmm. We got to be each other's support system here.
Let's do. And so first off, I just want to say shout out to all our Team Michael fans.
Yeah.
You already know how I feel, because I've been running my mouth for the last 54 chapters. So
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 chapters.
Exactly. Anyway, so we'll start from the top. Let's actually go through this episode. We start with a lovely flashback of Michael in 1994, 7 years old, Halloween night.
Dressed up
as a little popo.
Listen, you know how crazy it is that, like, once I saw it, I was like, oh, they're married now. Now they're going to do little Michael flashbacks.
I read it.
I was like, oh, we'll see if they keep this up. Jane the Virgin writers, I hope you keep this up.
Yeah.
Exactly, because I was like, hey, this isn't something about Jane's past.
Yeah, right. It's Michael. It was so touching. Yeah. It was so nice.
Oh, man, that was crazy. I don't know. I guess we see Michael from the beginning. Really sweet. Everything is great. We're going to go chronological order, so now I got to stop right there and go to the next scene.
We're going
to
stop there.
We're doing this for our fans, though, for our viewers, so it makes it easier for you guys. So then we see Jane. Then everything goes back to normal. Nice little flashback. We see where Michael's head is at, where it was, where it is, where it was. Okay. Anyway,
Jane
and Michael are discussing. They're talking about what they want to do, plans for the future. And then Jane goes out to an interview for a job from Chloe Leland, a very young, successful writer, novelist, author, whatever you want to call her.
Is this a Devil Wears Prada in the making?
Perhaps.
I don't know how I feel about her vibe, though.
Me neither. I personally think that she was bribing her. So we see her do this interview with this lady, and she published a non-fictional memoir of something when she was younger, and then she gets caught up later via Jane's memory with Michael. I don't know if I can talk about anything else.
Get it together, Stephanie. Get it together.
Okay, so we see that happen. Let's talk. This is the reason why I like to do
this. Yes. So, for me, on one hand, I was like, okay, Jane's, like, super prepared. Hey, now, for, like, winning of the interview skills. I want Jane to like come over to my house and prep me for interviews.
Right?
Because like, if I could go in and slam dunk interviews like that, I wouldn't be unemployed as often.
Right. Welcome to LA.
Welcome to LA. Where you on the unemployment line very often.
No, I feel you. No, she does do a great job, and this show is just the kind of character that Jane is. In fact, I actually ran into a fan of the show, and we were just discussing, and she knew that I did the podcast, so she felt comfortable talking to me in depth about the show.
Okay.
And she's like, she grabs my arm and says, you know, I've just never seen a series like this where they put a woman in a position that she's in, and it's one that's still naive but has so much power.
Right.
And I just kind of want to remind us of that's what's so wonderful about Jane the Virgin. You know, one, she's a Latina, and we don't, yikes, it's all Latinas right now on the show, right?
Hey, Latina takeover.
Hey. So okay. We see that, but she is someone who, you know, stands her ground, sticks to what she believes in, and still is triumphant.
Right.
Towards the end. So that's really great. We see her like this throughout everything that she goes through, and even through tragic things, which we'll see how she kind of does after tonight's great event. Not great event, very sad event.
Yeah, I'm all great.
I know. Okay, so again, she's epic. Interviewing with Chloe Leland, and she gives her an assignment to do, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Then we go to Rogelio. He's excited because there's a red carpet event. They are going to be screening, finally, the movie that he is...
Exposed
in.
XXX.
So I think that was like the most times I've ever heard the word penis on network TV. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever played the penis game?
No.
No.
You like start off really slow, you say penis, and then the next person says penis, but a little bit louder, and then you keep going and going and getting louder and louder just to see. Like,
do you do this in public?
Dude, I did it on an airplane once. It was hilarious.
What? OMG.
You guys have never played the penis
no.
game?
No.
I would have won.
Penis!
Someone would have been like, I would have been like, penis!
You would have just like,
next volume. I would have been like, do you want to hear how I project? Ew.
Anyway,
that
this
was horrible.
This whole show, every time he said penis, I was like, penis?
Penis. And so, rushed towards the end, it got a little weird because he was like, it looked like he was doing the sucky thing. Penis, penis, penis! And I was like, yikes. Rogelio, calm down. Don't be yelling at Darcy like that, okay?
Okay. And you know, somebody always has their phone out.
Yeah. So the whole reason why we're yelling penis is because we finally see this screening.
Yes, he goes to the screening.
They cut Rogelio's penis.
They cut it.
they cut it out.
Cut it.
And he thinks it's ridiculous.
Cut it.
Hey.
Cut it.
Cut it. Shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it.
Terremoto.
Hey. Sorry, inside jokes. Not funny for the crowd. All right.
All right.
So then we move on and we see.
Penis. Just trying to lighten the mood here.
That's good because once we get to the big guy, bets roll off.
But my thing is, oh my God, Rogelio, what's the gift and the curse about Rogelio is like...
His passion.
Mm-hmm. And how he cannot control it. And he's just making this scene in the middle of the movie theater.
Yeah.
I'm like, sir, like, what is wrong with you?
They cut my penis.
You don't do that.
Yeah. But do you see... I feel like you get it, right? Would you say a lot of, like... There's a lot of actors in Los Angeles who...
Their scenes get cut all the time.
But I'm saying to want to just have, like, a serious role. Like, do you think it's a good idea for him to do the De La Vega factor, or no?
The reality show?
I don't know. I mean, if we want to get kind of semi-technical...
Yeah, let's get technical about it.
Like, we live in an era with social media where everything's right at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. And reality is just... I'm not saying... It's, like, in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's been in for at least a decade now. Some people really can make... a career off of reality. Ooh, some people can't.
Yeah.
It's the same as anything else, though. Mm-hmm. What? Tell me now.
I'm laughing. My housemate, she's sending me messages, and she said, I just watched Jane the Virgin. Seriously, what? Tell me it's a lie. Had to rewind 3 times. I can't handle this right now.
I can't deal.
That's what she wrote. I can't deal.
I can't deal. I can't deal. I'm a mind reader, you don't know? Yeah. I'm an empath.
Hey, you're an empath. I can't wait to get into that.
Can't wait to talk about that.
Oh, okay, so you know what? We had a really good attempt at this chronological thing. We're going to go to my story lights. All right. So let's finish with Rogelio and Darcy. You're right. I think that this will be better for him because the way he is in general is perfect for reality.
Yeah, he is a reality show. So dramatic. And then, honestly, it was a great gesture because he did really, like, offend Darcy. And it was really, really, like, machismo. And I didn't like it. Because I've never seen that side of him. Like, he's normally so sweet and loving to everybody. And it was like, whoa.
And to be machismo... Al mismo tiempo, at the same time, yelling penis? Come on.
Se pasó. Right. Right. Se pasó.
Se pasó.
He went overboard.
He did.
I mean, like, he when he was talking about grand gestures, and Michael's like, oh, I whittled a giraffe, and he was like, no, that's nothing. You know, he has to be extravagant. That's Rogelio. So.
Yeah. Exactly. But we'll see him come, we'll see what happens. And especially because there's a possibility here that this thing with him and Darcy becomes something. So we see in the previews. But again, this is just a guess. We'll get into it a little bit later.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much what happens in Rogelio's life right now.
I'm confused.
Oh, like, and also his penis was sent to Chloe Leland.
Yes.
Yes.
The naked pics. Right.
The naked nudies. Pics.
No, I'm confused, though, like, about the whole reality thing. Had she mentioned that in a previous episode, that she had wanted to do that? Because I felt kind of like, wait, what?
No, I think she did. Some, I don't know, but because you know how they, in real life, there's the $1 million matchmaker?
Yes.
Right, so I'm assuming that's what
she's... They're playing off that.
They're playing off that, exactly. So we'll see. That'll be exciting. Hey, by the way, if you guys want to talk to us, tweet XOXO Cheska right now, and she's going to be following
me.
Hey, I'm hosting a show right now. I can't be looking. I'm just playing. I'm going to look too. So you can tweet me also if you guys want to. If you want me to read some stuff, I'm on it.
We're on it. Or on the live chat.
Yeah, can we pull up the live chat, please?
Live chat.
Grazie, grazie.
Five days late. Would you freak out if you were 5 days late?
Well, I guess that depends, okay? I don't want to get personal, but everybody's different.
She ran to that pregnancy test.
Some people have really, really regular menstrual cycles, so it's a bit freaky. However, I think it's funny that in my experience, not personally, but just, I guess, with everybody that I know, it's always when you get scared and then the next day your period comes. Like a moment of panic, and that's all you get. A moment of panic, and then.
But you know, stress can do.
Absolutely. Yeah, stress does a whole bunch of stuff to your body.
Everything and they've been going through a lot of stress. Everything, yeah.
They've been going through a lot of stress, that family. But I think I love that Michael was so happy about it.
Me too.
That was
so cute. I don't think I thought that he was gonna freak out exactly, but I didn't expect him to be as happy as he was.
It was literally 2 days before the LSAT.
Exactly,
like,
but it got...
I would have been stressed.
The way he teared up right away, and he wanted that. Mm-hmm. And then you forget because all of a sudden, right when I see him cry a little bit, boom, I got a flashback of his entire life, just the Jane the Virgin, series. From the beginning that we were introduced to him and everything that happened to them, I bet you for that, this was going to complete them.
Yeah. Right, because he's married to someone who has a kid that's not his.
Right, and he loves Mateo and everything else, but this was the opportunity.
For them to have one together.
And when Jane said that she was imagining a little Michael, and that's why she got so emotional.
All right, y'all.
All right. Okay, so we saw that happen.
But no baby for Jane at the end.
No baby for Jane at the end.
Andrea Chavez in live chat says, telenovela twist. She is still pregnant. That'd be funny.
Because they had sex.
Ooh, that's a good one.
She could be, because right after the carnival.
They did have sex after the carnival.
So, Andrea... Yo.
Hey, that's a great prediction. Yes. I like that prediction.
And you know what? And I was thinking that because this, from the beginning, all I can think about is Pearl Harbor. And I know it's going to be a Danny and
I can't remember the movie. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, the one that dies lives on through his child. You know what I mean?
Wait, yeah, that's who true. Who dies?
Oh, stop it.
They're already talking about chat. I'm getting crazy. I'm getting crazy.
So thanks, guys, for joining us in the chat room.
Yes. Shout out to y'all.
How now every time they say Michael, I will cry. Billie Jean, you funny. I know you ain't lying. Me too, girl. Okay, so then we have a little scene between... Oh, everything that's going on with Petra, Anishka, and Scott Archuleta.
Scott.
Archuleta.
Great.
I was waiting
Scott.
For that. I was waiting for his last name because I actually really liked it last episode, but I didn't write it down. So we see them get together, and I'm happy that Anishka doesn't have such like an evil thing behind her, even
she's
though Scott
not Petra.
Did with the whole clout thing.
Yeah.
And she's not Petra.
Right. She's not Petra.
She's not Petra. And like she said, ugly heart but beautiful face.
Right.
And fortunately, Anishka was a good auntie, so hopefully that'll do something for Petra, either make her better or realize that Anishka could be around, and then maybe Scott will eventually get over whatever's happening. But pretty, that's what we see there. And I really liked to see Petra so vulnerable in this episode.
She had a mommy moment.
She had a mommy moment.
She did. It was so beautiful.
And you know what? The only time I think we ever really see Petra's character good is when she's with Raph. There's something about Raph
that brings out the good of her.
Yes.
But I love their, both of them, like Raph's vulnerability to want to be an example for his children. That was just so, like, a big moment for him. Like, I was just like, wow.
Everyone in this episode was kind of coming around, like they were coming in for the win. We even saw Xiomara have a bit of a triumph this episode as well.
Right.
It was actually really cool. We got to see Xiomara, Alba, Bruce, Jane, and Tess have dinner together.
Oh my God. Awkward.
It was awkward. It was a little awkward, but you know what? Typical teenagers, they want to make things awkward, make a point, be subtle, be very passive, because that's all they know. And then afterwards, something happens where they make a discussion and her and Jane have a moment.
Yeah.
So that's like, pretty cool.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You live by here? Wow.
That latte, I love that place.
That latte is legit.
So legit.
Hashtag.
Hashtag. I'm going to show up at your house trashed. Yeah.
Where the heck did she get trashed?
Because this is my thing. Just because we had that moment, you think it's okay to show up at my house? Right. Oh, girlfriend. No. Jane's too nice because it wouldn't have gone down like that with me.
Yeah. Well, I do think it was that she was testing everything.
Oh, maybe.
You think
so? Well, I think, obviously she was drunk. I don't know. I didn't buy it, but whatever. She was drunk. But once she got to, once they took her to Xiomara and Abuela's house, like, I know she knew what she mm-hmm. was doing.
I think so, too.
She was acting out. She wanted the attention. She wanted to know, like, are these people going to care about me?
Yes. And I think that she was just kind of sad, too. And then she sees how serious this is getting. She's finally invited to the Villanueva home.
Right.
She sees the weight that they are, which we all know these women are wonderful women and they have respect and manners. And, you know, so I think she sees a little bit of that when she's at the house. She gains a little bit more respect for Jane because Jane doesn't live at home anymore, is married, lives in Wynwood, and, you know, has it going on. I think that she got drunk and subconsciously wanted to be around them, but also as a teenager, I would be really exhausted to hate. Because you just want to, like, get over the hurt of your parents divorcing and your dad being miserable and hating on your dad's girlfriend and maybe wanting a relationship with your dad also.
That's exactly why people hate... I hate using that word.
No, go ahead.
But it's because they're feeling some way about something going on in their life, mm-hmm. and they're just lashing out on everyone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People project.
Yeah, it's just predictions! No, I'm just kidding. It's oh, my God.
Projections.
She's still dealing with everything. Like, the last time that her dad got involved with Zoe, it was, like, her parents broke up, so mm-hmm. she was just... Yeah. You know.
Well, fortunately, she is getting a little bit older. You start seeing things. Perspective is changing and everything else. But that's really nice. And then Zoe for the win at the end, because we know how girls are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She knew that Tess was, a little bit awake. So she took the opportunity, spoke to Bruce, leveled, and then Tess could hear, like, a real side of Xiomara.
Right.
Which was awesome. I always get nervous, though, because I think the biggest thing for a girl is that how could I ever have love for another woman that's not my mother?
Right.
And that's just, like, loyalty. And hopefully you would think that if the mother, it's up to the mom to embed in that girl, like, I'm going to be your mom no matter what. But you have to have respect for other women, especially if they're going to be in your father's life.
Right.
Which I think that it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. Yeah. Okay, and then one other thing before we get into the big stuff. Oh, wait, last thing. I loved it when Alba said, métate!
Into the ahora mismo.
Ahora mismo. She's like, this ain't my first rodeo.
You know what?
My daughter's Xiomara Villanueva. Do you know about that?
You know what's really funny is when I was in college, I lived near the school, and so I would always see people drunk, like, walking home from parties and stuff, and there was one time that we were driving through the neighborhood, and there is a girl on a bike, just drunk, like, biking, and that's exactly what I thought about.
Yeah, next time drive by and be like, métate!
Métate!
Yeah.
Ahora mismo!
Yeah.
What do we think about Rose?
Well, I was just going to say, now, some things never change.
Right.
Because Luisa.
Listen, someone in the chat just said that every time Rose shows up, something happens to Michael.
That's true.
So crazy. I wasn't even thinking that. So shout outs to you.
Yeah. To Mario.
That's true. Except for, and you know what? Let's give Raph some props for coming out and be like, cool, if you're trying to be in this family, I'm going to need a blood test, an x-ray.
Right? MRI, the whole thing. Swab.
We don't play in this family no more.
Biologically, they're not even related.
Exactly. But
People doing plastic surgeries underneath the hotel back in the day.
Yeah, right? Like, his daddy's buried up in the Maria somewhere.
Oh,
right. Marbella, I meant.
Oh my goodness.
So,
yeah, we're going to see some crazy stuff happening. Luisa is so loyal to both her murderous girlfriend and her unbiological brother. So at least we can give her some props on that. Mm-hmm. She said that blood does not matter.
But you saw the second after that scene, she got on the phone and called someone.
Because she wants Raph in her life still. It just sucks, though, because...
But why is she going to do shady shiznits then, you know?
She's just like, what is she up to?
Let me play devil's advocate here.
Rose really loves Luisa.
And this is the thing. She's in love with someone that she has to keep a secret. And that's tough. All I'm saying is, when you really like somebody and you can't share that love, this was the opportunity where she can find somewhere to like, okay, I'm willing to look past the fact that you're not my real brother.
Yeah.
Now, are you willing to look past the fact that I'm in love with this woman that killed your father?
She's thinking, look it, she killed my daddy. I'm all right.
And he not really your daddy, you should be all right.
That's exactly it.
Where's Mari when you need him? Jesus. Right?
You are the baby. You are the father.
You are the baby.
It's all the baby's like, gack.
Mima 135, Raph really wasn't playing. And then earlier I saw someone said, please, Steph, Raph and Petra do not need to be together.
Yes.
I know, they don't. I'm not saying that.
We're team Raph and Jane.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it's good to see them together because Petra has some good in her. I don't think that she needs to end up with Raph, but for Nam Wan, for lack of better words, Raph is like her bro.
Yeah, for sure.
Her brother, because that's the only thing she's got closest to her at this point.
She has no other family.
Aneshka, she's still kind of warming up to, but at the same time, she's traumatized by that.
Mm-hmm.
I just honestly, I can't stand Luisa. Mm-hmm. And even though she might not necessarily have bad intentions,
she's a hot mess.
She's a hot mess, and she brings everyone down in flames with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I need her to. Goodbye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
You are the weakest link.
Yeah.
You're fired.
You're fired.
While I talk about this next part, read this last one because I can't read it. In this episode, Xiomara's cool with Bruce and Tess. Rogelio fights and makes up with Darcy. Alba is, you know, starting to accept that she's about to have all of her girls away from her. Petra is getting over all of this trauma and trying to accept. Lisa's trying to swoop in the fam again. Jane gets hired.
Yes, she does. That was a good moment.
She does a dope-ass victory dance.
Boop, boop. We love victory dance.
And then Raph is going through some trials and tribulations, but at the same time, it's like a coming of age for him as well, like a new passage in
his life. His road to redemption.
Yes. Thank you. He shall prevail.
Yes.
He wants a clean slate. He's decided that he just wants to come forth and then do this 9 months of jail and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why, that one of the things that triggered him in this episode was when he went to go pick up Mateo, Jane was saying that he was being very, like, repetitive, mimicking a lot, and was copying his daddy, and he doesn't want to be a bad influence for his children. Okay, now forgive me, and no disrespect to Michael. During this part, I looked at you, and I was like, I don't know why I still always see it. Something about when they're together and when they're talking, like, it just, I feel some type of way.
Wait, who?
Raph and Jane.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I feel some type of way. Now, we see Michael this entire episode, and he is super nervous. We get a flashback of when they went to the carnival and how he was so nervous to be around her. And in the beginning, am I tripping, or was it really like Michael's heart that was glowing first and then hers not? And then in the flash forward, they're both were glowing.
When they're on the Ferris wheel you're talking about?
Oh, there's a couple of times. It's like,
I saw glow, but I saw both.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, so they're reminiscing about these like parallel memories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. You see where he's coming at. He has the stomach issue throughout the entire episode. And this is like the worst thing. And this is the reason why we have to do like post-op, you know, and check in and after your surgery and everything else, because something kind of goes wrong.
Yeah. But they were disgustingly cute.
They were. You guys know that it's like I always right before say I Valentine's love Michael. Day.
I love Michael.
I even Insta storied the scene. I was like, damn, that was such a good shot mm-hmm. of them kissing. But like in the time now,
yeah.
Yeah, because they were talking about weird. Those pictures. Those
they
memories.
Made him look the best this episode.
Right.
The best this episode. And
they got us good.
They got us really good.
They reeled us in, even though we know, because I'm new here, but you guys have been Team Jane and Raph for a while. Mm-hmm. And team. Team. Mm-hmm. Team. But I think in this episode, as much as you didn't want to love them and like them, you kind of did. They got us wrapped into the world yes. of Jane and Michael in such a beautiful way.
Right.
And they crush it.
Yes. And they do
I'm
it
so upset.
They do it so well because they bring up the future, you know? And how do you not feel some type of way that when they start talking about the idea of having another child?
Right. Mm-hmm. And for Jane, who's always planning, she right. straight up says, you know what? I'm okay if something happens, if the timeline changes.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, that's big for Jane. And yeah, we're always kind of on the Raph and Jane's side, but like we've never denied how true their love is right. and how like Michael
deserved
just
her.
Adored her he, and yes. loved her.
Yes.
And that's the thing though, and I believe that also because from the beginning I used to always say, like, I love what I see there, and it's the whole you want what you kinda can't have. But Michael absolutely deserved it from the beginning because he did not stop loving her
right.
until his last breath. Shout out to Anthony Mendez, the narrator. I love you, papi.
Yo, he's the best.
I'm gonna make sure to like clip that and then.
You know he's from the Bronx, right?
Yeah, we had him on the show already.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's boogie down Bronx.
Him. We gotta try to get him come back.
Yeah, because then we have to have our whole connection. Washington Heights / Bronx, New York in the yeah. building. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna do that.
We're gonna do it. Okay.
We're gonna do it.
So then we see this last perfect day, and thank God. Thank God for it. Thank you, writers, for even though you could almost feel it because for some reason it was just so good when she said, I am so proud of you, these lasting moments and this cute and then they police had a, lunch pail.
That snapshot oh, of that him.
Was beautiful.
Of him.
And ladies and gentlemen, Michael Cordero, RIP, is gone.
Jesus. I can't. I just
he
got chills.
Died this episode.
Can we talk about how mad I am that I found out before they did?
Yes. First of all, Gina, we love you, but
you ruined it for the West Coast. So I'm, you know, while I'm just gonna
unless
keep
we're
it real.
Watching
no,
it late,
it
I'm
we
just gonna keep
it real.
No, we did watch it late.
We did.
Never mind, Gina, we love
sorry.
You.
Sorry. Okay. Okay, so, you know, while we're watching, I'm also on social media, you know, staying abreast to what we're talking about. And I go on Gina's Instagram, and she posts this video that Michael recorded on her phone. And she was just like, talking about him. And I was like, and this was before we saw the scene. Mm. So I had to, like, not tell my co-host because I didn't want them to know.
And then
I got scared.
We knew something bad
was going to happen.
And here's the thing, though. And me and Francesca looked at each other almost like we were the blame for Michael's death.
I mean,
how many times did we talk about it?
You guys are horrible. You guys
no, we talked about
this
it
into
so many
existence.
Times. Listen,
we didn't speak it into existence.
Yeah.
The writer spoke it into
they
existence.
Did.
That narrator always emphasized that he would love her till
his
dying day.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
But I want to know what was the decision. Like, they were in the writer's room and they were like, okay, so we're going to kill Michael.
No, they were like, they probably were like, there's something between Jane and Raph or...
But I feel like...
Not.
What?
No,
you
know
they
what
could
sucks,
have kept
actually?
Going with
You're
Michael
right.
for sure.
But why when Michael died, I'm like, I don't want her to be with Raph anymore. Real, like,
no, yeah, now you don't switch sides.
I just did. I'm too
oh
Michael
my
now.
God, you're oh my team God. Michael now. I
because
can't.
He's gone. That's not
I can't.
Fair.
I can't.
You guys, throw shade at me. Throw okay. shade at me. I deserve it.
I don't understand how you're flipping sides. This is my thing. I kind of understand where you're coming from, not wanting Raph and Jane to be together now, because now it's like they're coming together because she's grieving and she's vulnerable.
But I also think it's because I finally see Raph in a good place. He doesn't look like he's longing and hurting over her.
Right.
And then I was just getting comfortable with Jane and Michael. Like, they were bringing it back. Like, the scene in the booth when they were kissing each other like that, I was like, okay, I see some of that chemistry. But, okay.
Someone just tweeted us a link from...
the writers?
The executive producer, Jenny Ehrman, yeah. And it says, I'll just read it, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
Dearest Jane fans, I want to begin this letter by telling you about the magic of Brett Dyer. Did I pronounce his name right?
Dreyer.
I'm sorry. He took a character built from the beginning with secrets and moral lapses and made him so likable, so funny, so sincere in all the right ways that most of our writer's room became Team Michael by the end of the first season. And I honestly don't think I'll ever love a moment in on our show as much as I love Michael's vows to Jane.
Oh God,
those also brought us tears.
Which
is
crazy.
To say, that was a devastating episode for us to write. It was also a decision made very early on when I thought about our story as a whole. And even in season one, I knew it would be a hard thing to actually do, which is why there was a line, which many of you noted, hey, y'all watch us, about how Michael would never stop loving Jane. And the narrator confirmed for as long as Michael lived, until he drew his very last breath, he never did. He never stopped loving her. Honestly, I put that line into the script at the last minute to hold our feet to the fire to make sure we went through with it. Because even back then, the writers could all see the magic of Jane and Michael together, not to mention Rogelio and Michael.
Their besties.
When he finds out, he's going to be crushed.
It's just a little bit longer. Hold on. Okay. The other reason I put that line in the script was to prepare you a little. If the writers and actors loved Michael so much, then I knew it would be devastating for the fans. So then the only surprise we had left was when... ... And again, it goes back to the magic of Brett. Originally, I thought Michael would die earlier, but Brett is such an incredible actor.
He
gave us such great comedy and drama and first-rate exposition delivery. Often all in one scene. And he and Gina, well, there's that word again, magic. So we changed some things in the writer's room.
Wow.
Jane and Michael got married. They had sex.
Oh, my God.
That wasn't going to happen.
And then yes, because I knew it. Oh, keep going. Keep going. We're going to the
They moved into their first home. And I'm so glad we did that. And I'm so glad all those firsts for Jane were with Michael. Stephanie's crying, everyone. But this is a telenovela, as we so frequently remind you. And we're only at our midpoint.
Yeah. Oh, that's
you recall
crazy.
Back in the pilot, Jane was on a path. Things were mapped out. And then she was accidentally artificially inseminated and everything change. Well, now everything's changing again. How does our romance-loving hero move on? How does she get back the light and the hope? Well, it's certainly not quick, and that's why we're now 3 years later in her story.
Wow.
We'll be flashing back to those 3 years and filling in gaps, but miming emotions realistically is something we work hard on, and we knew the immediate plan of that loss would overwhelm our storytelling.
Yeah.
After talking to grief counselors, this felt like the right time to re-enter Jane's journey. She'll always feel Michael's absence, and trust me, we will too, but it opens up our storytelling in new and exciting ways while allowing for the light and bright Jane world that we love to write.
Beautiful letter.
Which brings me to something I feel really badly about, the timing. I've had so many tweets lately about how Jane is the bright spot these days, and I know you just watched a gut punch of an episode, so I wanted to reassure you that James' optimism will rise up. Thank you guys so much for watching the show and for caring so passionately and going on our journey, and thank you so much to Brett for his talent, his passion, his humor on set. Michael will be missed in Jane's world just as Brett is already missed in ours.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, so they're really going to go 3 years forward. That's crazy.
That is. And they knew since the pilot they were going to kill him.
You know what?
That's crazy.
They did it so well, though, too. And you know, that's why I was so surprised when they got married, because I thought, how do you get out of that, you know? But I could see the magic there, too. Oh, okay, my little memory with Michael. His first visit with Raph, or him and Justin Baldoni, they came on AfterBuzz the first season, and I remember seeing Michael, but I had watched him on, I've told y'all this before, but I watched him on Ravenswood.
The spinoff to
The Pretty Little Liars. And I loved him in it. I loved him so much in it. And so I freaked out when I saw him. And Justin Baldoni's like, oh my God, that sucks. You are so much more excited than me. And I'm like, no, I love you. But Brad, I love you. So that's just so crazy. And also we watched a little video That was really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gina's video.
I don't know what it is. And, you know, being, you know, I guess we all act here in Los Angeles. We try to, we want to get in the business. It's so crazy, and I couldn't even begin to imagine the emotional roller coaster of ending a scene like this.
Can I just say that scene where Jane drops to the ground when Raph is coming in to pick up Mateo, like,
gut-wrenching. I couldn't.
Felt that was like the realest real I've ever felt. Like, Gina's obviously an amazing
actor.
That's
why she has a Golden Globe.
Exactly. I mean,
that's why.
Because she can moment, do that. That's when I was like, oh God, I'm going to cry. Yeah. Yeah. I'm really going to start to cry. Yeah. Because that was just like, I felt every moment of pain I've ever had in my life.
Right.
You know, just flooded together in that cry that she had.
Ditto.
Speaking of what you were saying, Stephanie, about actors and coming together and that relationship and that bond. So for the last 3.5 years, they've been doing this show together. And she put this picture on her Instagram of them together. And she was like, you are my partner in artistic crime. We did 2+ seasons together, and I will never have the words to express how you changed my life. Thank you, Brett.
He's crying again.
Dream come true, acting partner. And that's true. Like, you know.
It's hot in here.
Yeah.
She's great, and so is he. And that's the thing. When you're able to show up to work and have someone who pushes you to greatness,
absolutely.
That's what they have in each other. And it's the end of
a beautiful
era. Yeah.
I just, like, I always thought it would happen. I just never expected it to actually
and like someone just happen. Said on the chat, like, we didn't even get to see like their 1-year anniversary. Like, there's just so much. They just got married, like, literally.
But that was good. I mean, honestly, this is what I live for, is for a show, for cinema, for let me feel something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But well done. I mean, this was great. Such a good climax. So sad that we have to say goodbye to this beautiful character / person / actor. And hopefully we can get him on the show as soon as we possibly can.
Oh, yes. My God.
Like, ASAP. Get here ASAP.
Right.
What about this wedding?
Well, we'll see. I was going to say, on that note, let's go into predictions.
Predictions. Lord.
Riley Rose, it almost killed me, too.
Now, you're after Buzz TV. Whew. So, we see Jane with her beautiful new haircut looking grown and motherly as ever.
Yes, in that dress. Mateo, his little tux. Oh, my God.
And he's talking.
He can talk.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. That means that the twins are probably running around.
Right.
We'll see what Petra, who the person that she has become, who Rogelio's married. Is it Rogelio that got married, or is it Xiomara that got married?
And is it Rogelio and Xiomara?
Yeah. We don't know.
It's 3 years. It's a long time.
And we didn't see it.
Or oh my God. What if it's Petra and Raphael again?
Shut up. I don't even want to.
I would be pissed.
I'm writing a list of all the possible.
The maybes.
The possibles.
I can't.
Yeah, it's
I don't want to do it.
Oh my God, it could be Alban, the guy from the.
Shut up.
It could be Alban.
And the guy from the gift shop?
Yes, girl.
Stop it.
Yes, girl.
Girl. Espérate. Pause. Time out on the play. So, what you mean to tell me is, see, when we talk about Alba, I got to get in my ass. But wait, no, because when they were on the porch, that's a good prediction, though, because when they were on the porch and Jane's like, okay, you know, she's married, this, she got the job.
She crushes, I hope it happens soon.
And then Xiomara's like, you know, in 6 months, we might be moving in together, and then Alba's going to be left all alone. But maybe not.
I hope it's Albita.
Albita.
Alba gets her
Alvita,
groove back.
You don't have a rose or anything, so you can throw away whatever you want, back. Girl.
Like, I hope it's something like that. That's major for her character, but not a major twist in, like, the plot, right, if you will.
Now, do you think that, because we don't see it, and there's a very, very good possibility that Jane does have Michael's baby? Should have Michael's baby, or do you think that it would just be this weird, lingering thing?
Wait, if she's preggers?
Because it's 3 or 4, so she could have easily had the baby already, and the baby is...
But where is
where
the baby?
Mateo
we just
now.
Didn't see it.
We just didn't see him because Mateo's the one that's running and walking.
I honestly... Wow, I think that would be nice and a great reminder of Michael. I think Michael
needs
ends
to die
here. I think that's just... I mean, like the executive producer was saying, like, they knew his storyline was going to end. I think it needs to end here because then we're just getting more complicated with more babies.
No, but it could get... Listen, hold on. Because think about it. If you guys are really team Jane and Raph, right? So Michael was willing to love her through the fact that she had Raph's baby. Would Raph love her through having Michael's baby?
Absolutely, because you know what? I think it's going to F Raph up too that Michael died.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know why that makes me want to cry because they also build a romance.
Yeah.
A romance.
Yeah.
At the very
they finally
end.
Got they to did. A really good
Even
place.
At the end,
he was
said,
like,
that's
I'm
impressive.
So proud of you. You know, like.
And that meant, and because Michael took care of his baby and took care of his family.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
And then he also, I think that, like, Raph felt comfortable that. Finally, like, if he was going to go to jail, that he can trust
yes.
that he has a village. It takes a village
right,
to raise
right.
a child.
It does.
And they have a beautiful village. They've created... Everyone's co-parenting. They're this joined family, and it's like, I can go to jail and know that, like, my family will be taken care of.
And I was... I kept thinking
now,
in my head, too. He said that he needs his clean slate, and I couldn't help but think, like, in his head, he didn't want to tell Petra because she couldn't hear it, but he's like, Jane and Michael are going to be there for you.
Yeah.
You know? But now there's no
but
Jane
now
and Michael.
But now there's no Jane and Michael, so is Raph still going to go to jail? He might change his mind after
right.
this. He might fight to stay out because now
because
Jane needs him.
Oh, my God, so
there's
much.
There's so much going on.
Jenny Ehrman, you got me all messed up right now.
Give Stephanie a hug. She needs one.
Billie Jean.
I'm just reading the chat. The chat is going off. They're going crazy, but
it's lit.
It's lit. But I do believe that Gina does deserve another Emmy or a Golden Globe nomination for this episode. They just said that. I agree. She killed it. And I'm at a loss for words. I can't even
My
lie.
Question for you guys is, how do you feel? Because this is, I mean, obviously we're sad, but
right.
what do you feel for the show? And this also kind of goes in turn with predictions, but this is Jane the Virgin. And in this last handful of episodes, Jane is no longer a virgin.
Hmm.
And now she is a widow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where...
And so
what's
is,
the tone? Now we're going 3 years forward. Like, what do you guys feel
but then again,
by the show?
I think it's perfect. We went to predictions and right back into discussion. Sorry,
right.
y'all, but... go ahead, you first.
No, I was going to say... I'm in the prediction stage, and someone in the chat said it as well. Abuela is a widow, and now Jane's a widow. So that brings them, like, closer together in a particular way. And what does that do to their relationship now that they have that common ground? And
ooh,
obviously,
right.
Alba's
going to
gonna
bring
be,
them back.
Yes, Alba's going to... Alba's always been the light in this
mm-hmm.
in this household in terms of God's light.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You know, God is love, and Alba is the epitome of God's love in this
yes.
family. La abuela is like the... You
Preach.
Know? And so she is going to be God's love on earth. To help bring Jane back, to resurrect her
yeah.
from her darkness. Because
yeah.
when you lose a love like that, there's just, you gonna fall into some really dark places.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my prediction. Alba's gonna be the thing that brings her out.
I think that it's like it's perfect, it's brilliant. I mean, it's so sad to say bye to a character like this, but at the same time, we, like she said, we have to remember where Jane was at in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We need to see this character flourish again. We need to see her be somewhere else instead of she, it's unfortunate and ridiculous to say, but it's almost as if she got too comfortable in this marriage and she needs to be kind of taken off her tracks again. And sometimes we need to be taken out of our comfort zone to re-embrace, to climb up something up again, you know? You reach a point to start at the bottom again and then go up.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like this is not an ending of a chapter. I feel like this is ending of, like, a whole book.
Yeah. You're right.
You know, and...
That's why part three, it is.
Well, I know there's part three, but it's like, this is the end of a book.
Yeah.
What are you trying to hand something, girl?
No, I'm just saying, like, this, it's just gonna feel like it's gonna take a different tone.
Oh.
From here on
because
out.
Because it's no longer Jane the Virgin?
No,
I
not
think
in
so.
Regards to just the virgin thing, but just, like, everything
no,
that happened.
Yeah,
it's just,
right.
like, this is going to be a different show. It's going to be the great same light and laughter and love, but it's going to be...
I think it's going to be good, though, because Michael, I think, still counts as her innocence. Michael still counts as her virginity. At one point in the show, we had talked about if we really thought that Jane was going to lose her virginity prior to her losing it. And I remember thinking, I do. And even though I believe her and Raph should be together from the bottom of my heart, I knew that she had to lose her virginity to Michael because he was the right one, not even Raph. Right. Raph, regardless of their love and regardless of their chemistry, but because Michael knew her on a different level. And you know, when you kind of share your body with somebody else, it's like a more friend level, and it's weird to be around bodies and see them naked and get to know each other and how we feel and to climax and to do all these things. And Michael was the perfect person for that. And if you're going to be with someone like Raph, you have this passion and stuff, you both do need to kind of go through these experiences to be able to bring each other something more. That's not to say that she's going to end up with Raph again, because at this point, I kind of don't care, because it makes it... It's like, you don't appreciate something until you've lost it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And America, I did not appreciate Michael until I lost him, because Jesus, I am hurting right now.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know if... is there anything else? Please get whatever. This is a grieving period for all of us. I want you to grieve.
I think that's interesting that the EP said that they actually spoke to a grievance counselor to see how to move forward in the script. I think we're definitely going to have to grieve this coming week until next week's episode.
And Brett's little video, that had to have been like some sort of method acting too.
Yeah, because he was being Michael.
It was really hard to watch.
If I was Gina and I found that in my phone, I would freak.
Yeah.
I would be so emotional because like...
Yeah.
But...
Stop crying.
We gotta go, guys.
Stop crying.
Where can they find you on social media?
You can find me at all things at Celly Hangout.
Twitter, Instagram, XOXOCESCA.
Y'all, thank you so much for talking with us tonight. We're gonna continue to talk about Michael, so don't worry about it. If you want this chat to kind of keep going, tweet us. I'm at Stephanie Georgie on Twitter, and let us know on some YouTube comments as well. We love you guys. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Goodbye, Michael.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.